dangers of this one facility, and therefore, thankfully, France swooped in at the last moment and made sure that Iran would not turn around and build a bomb in the next week and a half. So all of this is completely absurd. The Iraq facility really is much of a red herring. There are two facilities at that site. One is a heavy water production plant, and one is a heavy water nuclear reactor. The reactor is half built. It's under construction. It's not operational. It will not be operational for at least 6 months. Chances are far longer than that. And even with that being the case, plutonium, which is the supposed proliferation danger of a heavy water plant, that this can then be extracted, reprocessed, and turned into a nuclear warhead. Now, this process of doing...
And you have been listening to Counterspin. This is KBOO Portland. The time is now 6 o'clock. And coming up next is Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs right here on KBOO. And this evening, host Leon Kranz interviews local author Christy Krug, who sparks creativity with her new writing guide, Burn Wild. That's coming up after these messages.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to help co-sponsor the Triangle production of American Fiesta, starring Gary Wayne Cash, a witty, hopeful tale of imperfection and acceptance. American Fiesta will take place at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. This Triangle production will run from November 29th through December 22nd. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
This Tuesday at 8 a.m. on the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, we'll talk with a Navy veteran who experienced sexual abuse at the hands of an officer and who fought long and hard to get compensation and justice. All this and more on Call-In Radio, Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, this Tuesday, 8 a.m.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Native American Youth and Family Center's Micro Enterprise Program, presenting the NEA Marketplace, where Northwest Native small business vendors and artisans display beadwork, jewelry, pottery, and more. Saturday, December 7th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 5135 Northeast Columbia Boulevard. Information at neapdx.org. Vendor information by email to cjw@neapdx.org.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses.
Welcome to Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs, on the KBOO airwaves since 1978, making it the longest-running feminist radio program in the country. If you're interested in joining this collective, please contact KBOO's volunteer coordinator, Ani Haynes, at volunteer@kboo.org. You can also visit us on the KBOO website for more information and for podcasts, kboo.fm/Bread and Roses, and on Facebook, KBOO Bread and Roses. I'm your host this week, Leanne Kranz, and for the last 2 years, I've been featuring women writers on this show with the fundamental understanding that women raising their voices and telling their stories is just at the heart of feminism. And tonight's show encourages you to ignite your own creative voice and our guest will help us do just that. In the studio is local author and writing teacher, Christy Krug. For the last 16 years, Christy has helped aspiring artists to tap into their wellspring of creativity and, quote, do the thing that deep down you know you were meant to do. Christy is an international writing coach and editor. She's published extensively and won awards for her fiction, nonfiction, and poetry. She teaches wildfire writing classes at Clark College in Vancouver, Washington, and through other community venues. These classes are designed to help writers overcome obstacles and discover their voice and express themselves from a place of authenticity. She also hosts Wildfire Wednesday reading series at the Cascade Park Community Library in Vancouver, and this is a really neat opportunity for writers to read their new stuff in an open mic format. That's really cool, and the audience I hear is very supportive. Last year, Christy was featured in the popular local anthology, Brave on the Page, Oregon Writers on Craft and the Creative Life, that little gem published by our local press, Forest Avenue Press, edited by founder Laura Stanfill. And this year, Christy published her own book, Burn Wild, A Writer's Guide to Creative Breakthrough, which shares wisdom that she gathered through her work with others and her own creative life. I really got a lot out of it, I will say that. Welcome, Christy.
Thank you so much, Leanne.
Yay.
It's great to be here.
Good. Glad to have you, finally. I met Christy at a reading at Annie Bloom's Books in spring, I think. Mm-hmm. And she's involved in a lot in our community, and her mission, it's clear from what she's all about, what she teaches, and what this book states. Your mission is really to inspire creativity in everybody else.
Exactly.
And that's just really unusual. It's a rare thing that you're doing and much needed. So I'm curious, what motivates you to serve others?
Thank you. That's a wonderful question. It was captured for me recently again by a wonderful writer who's been in my classes for many years, and now she's really gotten her own wings and getting her work published, Valerie Wagner. She said to me once, you know, I've noticed that you tell a lot of stories about when you were a kid and you didn't have a voice. I grew up in a very dark situation with a lot of challenges. My mother was disabled and a single mother, and I felt for a long time I didn't have a voice. And so Valerie said, you know, you didn't have a voice, and you learned to share it and to have it, and now you help others to find their voices as well. And I was blown away that she had just captured my mission. That was exactly true. And yet I never really had articulated it quite that way. What had happened was about 17 years ago now, as I had been getting my short works published and articles and doing some freelance writing, I just kept hearing the cry from my friends and many women saying, I wish I could do what you are doing. I wish I could write. I wish I could tell my story. And, you know, I would just think to myself, but you can. You can. And for myself, knowing how strong my own critical mind was and how difficult it was to overcome that critical thinking and yet possible, I just was so motivated to say, look, here are the things you need to start doing. Here are the things you need to start thinking. And you can actually overcome that critic, which is blocking your ability to enjoy your talents and your creativity and explore and discover what they are. And I find so much joy in that process that it breaks my heart that women and men are being robbed of that joy daily. I mean, their lives are devoid of so much joy. How heartbreaking. And so if I can help someone to have a little bit of the transformation that enabled me to stop criticizing myself and start telling my stories and playing And even in the last 5 years, I've started doing art again and painting, which I hadn't done since I was a child. So I know it's possible. And I love it when other people say, yes, it's working for me, it's helping me, and I'm doing those things now.
So what happens to us? We're little kids, we create, we think we're great, we're going to be this, we're going to be artists, we're going to be this. What happens to us?
Oh my gosh.
What obstacles do we put in our path to creativity?
Exactly. Well, it what you're asking, you know, what happens? There is this sense that something happens to us. We change. We go from being free and playful to feeling like everything we do is wrong. And what I describe in my classes is that it's kind of like, you know, we have a sense that play and creativity are wonderful when you're a child, but as an adult, everything you need to do should be with an end result. It should be effective. It should be responsible. Translation, it should make money, and you should be very successful at it. And so that just hinders us from continuing that play. And that play is what brings joy and discovery. It's also what produces talent and produces skill. And we cannot get better at our arts and at our writing unless we're playing and practicing. So that just withers away with that sense of responsibility. And I actually give it a name and a face. I call it Dr. Codger. Dr. Codger is that critic that tells you you need to grow up and you need to be responsible. And what's the point? He's always asking you, what's the point? So if you're going to start a novel or if you're going to write a poem, what's the point? And you just think, well, why should I even start?
We're talking with Christy Krug, local author of the new writer's guide, Burn Wild. Christy, you mentioned that many of the students that you encounter are women who are blocked. Are there particular obstacles for women that you encounter time and time again?
Absolutely. That is you really hit the nail on the head that we do have particular obstacles. And I think women tend to be always looking at the others in their lives, the people that they're taking care of, their families and perhaps their children or perhaps their parents or their siblings, their partners. And it's so easy for us to measure ourselves by the others and what they're doing and what their needs are. And it's very difficult for us to put ourselves first. But I believe that in order to have the joy and the energy to help and encourage and nurture others, I have to put myself first. And that sounds incredibly selfish. I wasn't trained that way at all. I was trained, well, these are your priorities. You put God first, and then you put other, and then you put your husband. And then, well, I just found out that that was forcing me to always look at what other people wanted and losing touch with what truly fueled me and made me happy. And I found just the opposite, that I can be the best nurturer and the happiest person to live with. My husband can attest to this. When I'm doing the things that make me happy, when I'm doing my creative arts.
When I read the guide, there were some other pieces to this puzzle that came to mind, like some of the things that you say in order to be creative and just in the flow and just not putting pressure on yourself and really just creating, that you have to break some rules and sometimes, and the rules we've been taught. And for women, some of those rules that I think are particularly hard for us, you know, we're told to be nice versus telling our truth and, you know, don't make a mess, you know, don't make mistakes and put others first, as you said. Mm-hmm. It just, it does feel, it's understandable why perhaps there are fewer of us out there.
Exactly.
Has nothing to do with potential or talent.
Yeah.
And the world needs that other side, that other voice.
It's so true. I don't think you can create art. I don't think you can write or tell your story if you're not telling the truth. And we have been trained to block out that truth in lieu of what other people want to hear.
And others' feelings.
Yes, even. We might hurt somebody's feelings. Or, you know, and I always think of that thank you letter we were told to write when we were, you know, 10 years old. And I don't know if kids are drilled into writing thank you letters. And I'm really glad that my parents had me write thank you letters, actually. I'm really grateful. Mm-hmm. But there was that sense that you had to say something that wasn't true. Oh, thanks, Aunt Martha. I really loved the socks you knitted, the bright, you know, mustard-colored woolen socks that you knitted for me. You know, they're wonderful. They match my, you know. And you're trying to think of something to say, and you're being dishonest because you really didn't like those socks. And it's just that idea that my story and the way I see it is not as important as what other people think. And again, that is completely clouding over the thing you were given to tell the world, the story, the song you were meant to sing.
Well put. In the very beginning of this new writing guide, Burn Wild, you say that kind of the beginning place to start is you must address the mental and emotional and spiritual states, our states as creators, or we will never be able to sustain our creativity. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about what work needs to be done?
Thank you. Gosh, I'm still doing that work all the time, so I'm still learning. But, you know, I think we have this idea that creativity is just you have it or you don't. We are in such a hurry in our culture, first of all. And there's a wonderful book written in 1938 by Brenda Uhland called If You Want to Write, written decades and decades ago. And Brenda Uhland says the imagination needs moodling. It needs long, idle hours. And whether you're in the past or in 2013, there is this challenge, there's this rush, there's this push to constantly be productive, constantly be doing. And we don't realize that our unproductive times of moodling or nurturing ourselves or just sitting and watching a sunset or looking at the fallen leaves in our yard, that this is filling a deep place. It's filling that well of creativity within us. And if we don't have that full, we are not going to have anything to create, to paint, to write. It's very difficult when your mind is full of the day and all you're about is your tasks. Again, what I call Dr. Codger. When you're in that mode, everything is about achievement and efficiency and how much can I get done? And this is not conducive to the creative process, which needs you to slow down and really dwell and really soak up what it is that you want to say, the story, the beauty, the art. There are no shortcuts. So what are the things that you can do in your life to create that space? What are the things you can do, whether it's yoga or a meditation practice or going for walks or playing with your kids? And not having an agenda, letting go of your agenda is one of the ways you can take care of yourself. But I think giving yourself permission to enjoy your life, then you can enjoy your art as well.
Nice. We're going to take a little musical break and come back to speak with Christy Krug, local author of the new writing guide, Burn Wild. That was Liz Phair with Mesmerizing. You're listening to Bread and Roses on KBOO. Our guest tonight is local author and writing, I don't know what to call you, writing inspiration, yeah. Christy Krug, here talking about her new writing guide, Burn Wild. I want to announce that we're giving away something really cool here. During this hour, the very first person who calls us will get 2 Ani DiFranco tickets. She's playing at the Aladdin Theater on the 19th at 8 p.m. Call KBOO, and I don't have the phone number. This will be a scavenger hunt. Find the number and call us. 503-231-8187. I think I should know that. I'm losing points here, KBOO, tonight. So please call. The first caller gets a pair of Ani DiFranco tickets for free from us. With love. The number again, 503-231-8187. All right, Christy Krug, your new writing guide, Burn Wild, there were a few things that really stood out in terms of a writer's guide. Mm-hmm. You focus a lot on helping people to operate from an authentic place, to create from that place. And can you talk about that and why that's fundamental mm-hmm. in our writing practice?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, again, I think it goes with telling the truth. If you're not really being who you are, there's this artificial persona that you might be putting on. And that's only going to last a little while. I think what goes along with that is having a genuine desire to bring something into the world, really connecting with why you want to write. And I'm going to go here because it's just so interesting. After 16 years of teaching classes, you've seen a lot of people come and go, and there are quite a number of writers who've showed up in class and actually have said to me, "The reason I'm doing this is so I can quit my job and become a novelist and make money." And I've really been surprised how many people thought it was just that simple. But those writers...
I've been there.
Well, they really thought that it was going to happen really quickly, mm-hmm. but that was the focus. And I had some say, "I just have to get known and I just have to make money. And really, I want to make a lot of money at this." Those writers lasted weeks and disappeared, and I never saw them again. Whereas the writers that showed up and said, "You know, I have a story, and I've always wanted to tell it, and it's about my grandmother, and I love my grandmother," you know, and then they'll proceed to tell me a little bit of the background or whatever. I have people that have started writing because it was something that they remembered they loved doing as a kid. And that love and that joy just kind of called to them and called them back. Those writers have been with me for years. And they've gotten published. And their dreams have started to come true in many ways. So, you know, I really think being authentic is digging deep down to find out what you really want. And I think in our culture, with all the pressures, again, to make money, to have this, to own this, to do this, to achieve this, that we lose touch with what we want deep down. And when you recover that and that comes to the surface, that's the real you. That's what you really want. And all the power of the universe is going to help you get that when you really recognize it and go for it. And you're going to stick with the program. You're going to be there even in tough times, because it's not about, not that there's anything fundamentally wrong with wanting to make money, but I don't believe it was their deep down authentic calling in that pursuit. Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned in the book, Burn Wild, that, you know, that sometimes people are afraid to reveal that self. We have that self and we protect it and keep it from the big bad world. And to give voice to that and put it out there for people to perhaps react to is really daunting, I think, for people. But you have some questions in the book that help people kind of uncover. You know, you say in order to find out who you really are and practice your bravery speaking there, you have to ask yourself and answer the big questions. That is true. That is part of the practice, I would say, of writing, is that you have to take the time to stop and ask yourself, what voice do I want to give to the world? Which brings me to the other principle of this book that really stood out for me. You talk about fear of success. But, you know, we've heard that. People talk about that. But you spin it. Do you mind talking about your take on the fear of success?
Sure. I can't remember what.
Oh, I can tell you.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, you say that it's not about you. You know, it's not about.
Yeah.
It's bigger than that. It's about you have something that somebody needs. If you're honest and you put your truth out there, you know, the personal is universal. We learn that time and time again. Like, truth resonates with people. And so if you look at it through, I'm just going to give this gift of mine to the world, that's the way to think about success.
Exactly. Yeah. It is really been freeing for me. And the thing is, I've seen so many people struggle with that. You know, they'll kind of the opposite of the other writer that came in and said, I want to be known and I want to be rich, is the writer that says, I don't think I really ever need to get this published. And I don't care if nobody ever hears about me, and that's fine. And what I really notice is that kind of each extreme is the ego. The one that's saying, everybody notice me, I'm wonderful. I mean, you gotta notice me or I'll die, you know, or the one that's saying, oh, don't look at me, don't notice me, I'm nobody. They're both in the grip of the ego. It's about me, whether I'm disappearing or whether I am trying to get, you know, in the spotlight, it's about me. And the thing is, if you just shut up about yourself already and forget about yourself and realize that whatever you've been given to do is going to help somebody else, can you just put that conversation aside for a while and think about how good it would feel to have Leanne read your book and say, oh my gosh, this helped me. I mean, what a dream come true for me. So that at some point, instead of thinking, oh, am I going to get this published and will I be amazing? Or, oh, nobody ever wants to read this, this is just a waste of time. Think about that person that I really want to speak to. Think about the message that I have, how I want to give, and what a difference I want to make. So then it's not about me anymore. And I really think we need to go away from ourselves. We take ourselves so seriously. And it's kind of a lifelong dilemma, but it's also a very Dr. Kotcher thing to do. Because the critic, again, is all about you looking good, all about you getting you into that space, rather than letting that creativity, and no creator, no artist who's amazing says, yes, I did this all, it all came from me, and I can tell you exactly where I got this idea. And, you know, we know it came from some other place, and we yield to that, and it's so much better letting go.
You know, and fear is a huge piece of it. Even if it's not fear of success per se with someone, it's sometimes when you're most afraid, it's because you're onto something. You're right, and you're striking a chord. And so sometimes fear, you know, it should be exhilarating, not scary.
Yes. Oh, where did I hear that recently? That the difference between fear and exhilaration is exhilaration is fear with the breath.
Mm. Yeah. Breathing.
Exactly. Yeah. With that breathing added, you feel the fear, you take a deep breath.
You know, I recently heard there's a guy, Stephen Pressfield.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. He's
the war of
creative.
Art.
Mm-hmm. And he's written about the creative process. And mm-hmm. he even helped me a little bit deeper to think about fear. He says that it's like a law of nature. For every, when you're starting a creative effort and you're going for it, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, a resistance. Mm. So he talks about fear rising in the face of your creative attempts. He talks about that as a natural law, a resistance, like the third law of motion. It's it's part of the natural energy cycle, so to speak.
You know?
So fear, sometimes you kind of have to meet it.
Right.
And just keep going.
You're absolutely right. And I do. I love what he says about fear and about resistance, and that's a key to something very, very important to you, actually. Mm-hmm. So follow that fear. You know, our tendency is, I'm not going to go there. I'm scared. But as you said, it's just a natural force, law of nature. It's going to be there. Just keep going.
And it won't kill you. You
exactly.
pointed that out in your book. It really won't kill us. It feels like it will. But.
Right. And, you know, you don't ever get to the point where you don't have the resistance, where you don't have the critic, or you don't have the fear. But what happens is you remember that last time you felt this terrible and frightened and scared, what you did, and you kept going, and it was okay. And the last time you picked up your pen to write this novel and you didn't know what was going to happen or what you were going to write, and it was okay. And so you just build up a history of doing those things again and again, despite the feelings, despite the resistance. And that's really all it's about. It doesn't go away, but you just learn not to listen to it, not to let it run the show.
Which brings it back to... You know, writing is a practice,
mm-hmm.
a practice. And you say something great in your book, Burn Wild. You say that, you know, when it comes to any other creative endeavor, cooking, mm-hmm. a musical instrument, or mm-hmm. even a sport, it's like practice is like part of it. You got to do it and make mistakes and fall down. And, you know, that's okay. But somehow when it comes to the art, sometimes we feel like, the writing, that you, if it doesn't just flow, mm-hmm. if it's not easy, that it's not.
Exactly.
It's not okay. I'm not a writer. Mm-hmm. I must not be talented or gifted.
So
it's the
true.
Practice.
So true. And we judge it so early on. I mean, for some reason, we have this weird thing where you write something with your hand on a piece of paper and you just look at it and it looks wrong and it looks bad and the letters are crooked. And it's like your critic jumps on words, on language, quicker than anything else, I think. I mean, that and maybe drawing, maybe a piece of art, or maybe if you suddenly sang a song in front of me, you know, those are the things that your critic just jumps on and just seizes. And, you know, if you are playing an instrument or you're just practicing your scales, you don't have expectations. You know, I do this every day. Yeah, it doesn't sound so great. This is the practice part. And we really need to have that same kind of casual attitude about picking up the pen or sitting down at the keyboard, that, you know, don't be daunted by what that screen is telling you about what those letters look like, about that very first impression. Take some time. This is just the beginning and it's just practice. It doesn't matter.
We're speaking with Christy Krug, a local author and writing coach. She has put out a really great writing guide called Burn Wild, A Writer's Guide to Creative Breakthrough. And in line with what we were just talking about, Christy, you talk about in this book, you talk about discipline you talk about play a lot, mm-hmm. but there's some discipline involved. You call it passionate discipline. And instead of thinking of it as being chained to your chair in front of your computer screen, you talk about it as you're creating, you're holding space. Mm-hmm. You find a space in the week that works for you, in the day that works for you, and you give, it's almost like playtime.
Mm-hmm.
But the effort of going there, keeping your commitment, and just doing something in that time,
mm-hmm.
it helps you build, like as you were saying earlier, it helps you build those, oh, I've done this before, I know how to get out of this jam.
Right,
you build
right.
those muscles just as you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's really a paradox because, you know, you want to have the attitude that I'm just going to go and sit in this chair whether I feel like it or not. You really want to have that attitude that, you know, and I've heard, oh, there's some wonderful quotes by Stephen King about, you know, writing is our job, to paraphrase. And so those of you who are moved by the muse, well, good for you. But others of us, it's just our job and we just have to go and sit here. So there's a sense of, regardless of how I feel, this is my discipline, this is what I do. The other side of that, though, is that when you allow yourself this space and you approach it with a real love, and you allow the love of your work to draw you, it really can be a daily joy. And, you know, I like to make my space, I like to have a candle burning, I like to have it filled with things that are going to draw me. This is my space, this is my writing moment, and it's almost a sacred ritual. I do some writing at the computer, and I do some writing in a journal by hand, and that in particular is a very sacred ritual of mine, and it draws me. It's not like, oh my gosh, I've got to do this. I think in the beginning it was, and I think that is the backbone, but there comes a time and a place where it's just what you love to do.
You say it draws you back magnetically.
Absolutely.
After time.
It's like you've created this vortex that will just pull you every day. It will just continue to pull because of all the energy and love you've put into it. And then that comes back. So they really work together, the passion and the discipline. A wonderful writer told me once that people were always telling her, you know, you're so disciplined, you're so disciplined. And she said, but I'm not. I just love doing this. I just love it, you know. And so for her, it was just about, when can I find time to get back and work on that book?
You said something when you were discussing this topic in the book. When you said you don't have to wait for the muse to show up mm-hmm. to sit down for your creative thing, that was revolutionary to me. You know, I was duped somewhere along the line to think, you know, you have to wait till you get that tingle,
mm-hmm.
you know, or you're inspired by something in particular. And I'm not disciplined like I should be.
It really works like those old-fashioned water pumps. You know, like in the Helen Keller movie, The Miracle Worker, you know, and
prime the pump.
Yeah, well, it's really true. And if you look at those pumps, I mean, the first time that you, or if you go to the fair where they reenact, you know, the farm of the day and what you'd find. And if you pull that handle, there is nothing there. I mean, there is nothing coming out when you pull that pump. There's nothing. And you'd be like, forget this. There's no water. You really do have to keep going, keep going. Once you've gotten that pressure built up and that water is flowing, it keeps flowing, it keeps flowing, it keeps flowing. And that is your discipline, is that it is really just priming that pump. You get the sense when you sit down, I have no muse. I have no ideas. This is a waste of time. Just ignore that. That's not the end of the story. That's just that resistance. It's just the first phase. And the thing that happens is the more that you prime that pump, ideas are going to come to you all the time. And you'll be like, oh my gosh, the muse is alive and well and living. And it's just that you have actually done that work. And so now...
You fed the muse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now it's going to hang around. And when you let off and you let go, the first day you might have a trickle of an idea and you'll, oh, I'll get back to it. But over time, those ideas will seem to disappear once again.
Christy, will you read something for us?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So, Okay, so this, we talked about this little piece. It's a tiny little poem. I think this was published in a journal called Windmills. I apologize if that's not right. It's a little piece about falling in love with that creative process, with that thing right in front of you, just letting yourself go a little crazy. Eating the mango seed. Lower incisors mow backwards, shearing thready flesh. Cold, moist fruit falls in shreds, rolling to back of teeth, to the forgotten Neanderthal caves below, behind the strong muscle of tongue. Give me a bone to gnaw, a seed to suck, as I crush the juice of life and let it fill my throat.
Thank you. That was primal. That was Christy Krug, local author and writing coach. She's here with us tonight talking about her brand new writer's guide, Burn Wild, a writer's guide to creative breakthrough. We're going to take a little musical break and be right back.
Strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song.
So hard to bring that song down. We're all in here like sighing, clutching our chests. That was Roberta Flack with Killing Me Softly with his song. You're listening to Bread and Roses, KBOO's feminist news and public affairs program. We're with Christy Krug, local writer and writing coach, here to talk about her book, Burn Wild, A Writer's Guide to Creative Breakthrough. Christy, in this book, you talk a lot about intuition and following inklings. You know, you hear differing advice about, you know, if you're going to set out on a novel, you got to know your ending. And, you know, there are this advice that you have to know certain things in order to be in the good shape to start, you know, have a serious work, right? So can you talk a little bit about the reality of the place of inklings in writing?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I do. I love this topic. It's the chapter, What You Don't Know, and about how so often you we're told you have to know so much. You have to know where you're going, and you need an outline, and you need this, and you need that. But there's so much power in what you don't know. And so what I like to say is that you inkle your way. You do the same thing if you're lost in a city street, and you don't have GPS or a cell phone. I like to say the creative process happens along the border of an unknown country. It's an unexplored place that scares and exhilarates a creator. And, you know, I think there's really a continuum when it comes to planning a work of fiction or nonfiction or any writing. There are those that laboriously outline and really like to have detailed notes and pages of those notes. And there are others who do nothing whatsoever but just begin the writing. The truth is, whether you have an outline or whether you don't, you're pretty much in the same place. You don't know how it's going to turn out, much as if you're beginning a journey and you have a map, but you don't know how it's going to turn out. You really don't. That map is no guarantee that you're going to actually be able to follow it, that those roads are not closed. A million things could go wrong and could happen. And so I really like to encourage writers to get in touch with that place in you that can learn to live with being uncomfortable. We are uncomfortable when we don't know what we're doing. We are uncomfortable when we don't know where we are, when we're lost and we have no map. But I've also found that those are the places of the best discovery. And I love to read a book, and a novel in particular, where I'm suddenly just so astounded and surprised by what this character did. And having known and knowing currently many wonderful authors, I'll ask, what about this? What about when she suddenly, you know, ducks and just falls into the cave and nobody expects that she's going to just suddenly swim in the underground water? And I didn't know she was going to do that. It surprised me too. And I think when the author is surprised, the reader will be surprised. And if we let ourselves be surprised and live on the edge a little bit and create on the edge a little bit, let ourselves inkle our way rather than demand that we know everything, that's where the joy and the surprise and the delight comes. And I think it's the same in a work of art as well. If you have it so manipulated that you know every twist and turn and know what you're going to do, that can get old. And it's not as much fun. And, you know, those that are participating with you pick up on that, too.
You know, it just strikes me that, you know, even writers that have a skeleton, there's space between the bones, right? You know,
exactly.
There's room for that sort of thing. So that brings me to this overall, this book highlights that there's not one way to do this. You know, what works for one person is not necessarily going to work for everyone. You give us a lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
And you even say you don't have to read it through. You can pop in here if the topic interests you or speaks to you.
Oh, yeah.
It's really designed well.
I read things backwards all the time, so I think you should be able to do that.
It's designed well for that. Nice work, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Would you read something else?
Sure.
I would love to hear something else of yours. We're speaking with Christy Krug, local writer and writing coach.
Mm-hmm. So this is a little bit about, this poem is about just finding out that you're suddenly in the right place. You know, we talked about that sense of being lost sometimes, or not knowing where you are in your art or in your creative process or while you're creating something. And there's this wonderful thing that has been happening to me the last several years, for about a decade, that every spring, and I do a lot of hiking in the area, and I've been discovering these little robin's egg, broken open shells, and I find at least one every spring. And it's just been like this little symbol to me of being open, being willing to be broken open in the creative process, and just reminding me I'm in the right place. This is called On the Path. Oh, I have to tell you, when you're miles from your car and you have a robin's egg in your hand, it's very tricky trying to figure out how to bring it back to your car. And so I've tried all these different things. Pockets don't work. You know, the backpack doesn't work. I have to hold it open, hold my palm open with this little thing and walk like this for miles. And sometimes I'll sing a little song. So that's where the poem came from. On the Path. Here it is, a robin's eggshell, telling the story of a flight before it happened. There was a rocking, a splitting. I cracked open. Now it comes, the placing of a god house into my hand. I fear this egg skin may crumble, heaven may break. Still, I learn to walk hand outstretched, preserving the frail and unnested. The blue inside the blue of me, open to the air, healing the seam of blood within the creamy white. See, you can. Holding sky and wonder, sing and carry the long blue fragile cup of your life.
I love that last line. It gets me. I love it when a poem ends like that, with a bang. Thank you, Christy. That was Christy Krug, local writer, writing coach, reading some of her original poetry. You have a poetry book out, too, don't you?
I have a chapbook. It's called You Don't See the Ghost at First, and they're autobiographical poems and tiny stories. You might call them microfiction.
We've been talking a lot about your new writing guide, Burn Wild. Where can folks get this?
Well, it's at Powell's, first of all, our favorite store in Portland. It's at Amazon. It's coming to Broadway Books and cover-to-cover books. Pretty much if you get online, you'll find a place to get it. Or you can run into me and I'll sell you a copy.
And what about the poetry book? Can folks get that through your website?
They pretty much need to send me an email and I'll send it to you.
Why don't we go ahead and tell them how they can get in touch with you?
ChristyKrug.com.
Do you mind spelling it? It's a little unique.
Sure. ChristiKrug.
And your website, ChristyKrug.org. Is that right?
It's ChristyKrug.com.
Excuse me. Yeah.
But if you forget and do ChristyKrug.net, that's also an address where you can reach me.
So you spoke tonight so eloquently about the ego derailing, so much writing that could happen. You know, we just drive ourselves into a ditch with that. Can you give us some words of wisdom on comparing ourselves to others?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's another real trap. You know, it's so easy to, again, Dr. Codger, if he can't get you to discount yourself completely and to shut down, then he's going to try to compare you to other people and make you feel like, well, this isn't real success. If you were really successful, you would have sold 20 books by now and you would have, you know, and I have areas that, you know, I haven't seen happen the way my heart would love for them to happen. My autobiographical novel hasn't been published. It's come really close, but hasn't. And it's really close to my heart. It's that story, like I said, of a child growing up when you and I were talking, kind of invisible with a lot of darkness. And I love the stories, and I know that they're really important to me. But I'm okay that this isn't in reality at this moment the way I would like. And I think comparing yourself is really insisting that somebody else's path, that your life should look like somebody else's life, and somebody else's path is better, or somebody else's gift is better. In class, when we sit around close together and we share our work, it's fascinating to me how the same things come up again and again and again. And you can be sure if a very funny writer reads their work, the next writer will think, oh my gosh, I'm just not funny enough. if a writer with a very dark, sad story reads her work, the next writer will say, well, this is just too light and frivolous. and you know, whatever it is, you think this is wrong. And so many writers have told me, especially those struggling with the darkness, I think, they say, gosh, my story is so sad and bleak and nobody wants to hear it. And I just, every time I write, it's sad. It's depressing. I can't read this. I can't share this. I can't write this. And I just tell them, that's what's coming out of you. Just stay with it until it's done. Just let that water flow out of that pump until it's done. Because any other message that you try to get is going to be fake. It will not really be you. And trying to be someone else or sound like someone else is a complete waste of time. And that's what I love too about my opportunity is I can put many writers next to each other and say, okay, now stop comparing and just listen. You have a bouquet of all these different kinds of flowers and you realize, okay, so the daisy isn't better than the geranium. They're just very, very different. And when you can finally have that acceptance because you've seen so many different things, you'll just go, and look at me, I'm over here, I'm this tulip, and I'm pretty cool too.
And we're speaking with Christy Krug, talking about her wisdom that she's passing on to us in her new writing guide, Burn Wild. And, you know, that sort of discussion, you get wisdom you just gave us there, it's indicative of what you can find in this book. There's a lot for the beginning writer, you know, to kind of get their feet wet with this and overcome some of the common starter obstacles. But it really also speaks to those seasoned writers out there who, you know, might think they have it nailed. There was so much revelatory information in here. There's a lot. It's very deep for such an accessible book.
Thank you.
Thank you. Christy, can you tell folks where they can see you coming up? I know you have a couple of events.
Sure. Well, Cover to Cover Books in Vancouver has a wonderful poetry series hosted by Christopher Luna, our Clark County Poet Laureate. And December 12th, I will be the guest reader for that event. And, you know, it's just over the bridge, 7 p.m. on Thursday, December 12th.
And you're teaching a class, I understand, coming up in the spring.
Exactly. I'm really excited about the next Burn Wild class. So it's kind of funny because the book came out of the class I taught for 16 years, Wildfire Writing. And then the book kind of became its own thing and is its own thing. And now there's a class that's coming out of the book. And so I'm calling it Burn Wild. And it's located right close to here in Southeast Portland on Gladstone, at a new wonderful creative space for artists. It's called Rouse Portland, and you can find it at rouseportland.com. And the Burn Wild class will be meeting Tuesdays in January and Tuesday afternoons. And it's really about everything in the book. It's really about finding your voice and overcoming that critic and learning to just get your creative juices flowing and put things on that page that you may have been blocked and felt that you couldn't access. So I'm very excited about that. And then, do I have time to mention one more?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. And then the next class I'm very excited about is happening in February with two women that are very inspirational to me. Sage Cohen is the author of Writing the Life Poetic. And Laura Stanfill, you mentioned her earlier. She's the founder of Forest Avenue Press. And the three of us are going to be teaching a workshop in February, also at Rouse Portland. And this will be Tuesday evenings, starting the first Tuesday in February, 6:45 p.m. And Sage and Laura and I are teaching Finding Your Stride. And it's really about finding your momentum as a writer. You know, it's so we've seen so many people start, stop, halt, go forward, take a step, feel like they've taken three steps backwards, quit. And it's really about how can you be empowered to find your stride, go forward, and get those tools that you need. So I'm very excited to be working with these women. We did a workshop at Wordstock this fall. And we loved working together so much that we said, we're going to keep teaching together. So,
and I met Sage at that event.
Yes.
And she'll be on Bread and Roses Friday, December 6th.
Fabulous.
She's an amazing poet.
She is.
She made me cry in like a room full of people.
She'll do that.
Yeah. We have had the pleasure of having Christy Krug in the studio with us. She's a local author of the new great book, Burn Wild, Creative Breakthrough Guide, that really helped me. Thank you for sharing this with us tonight.
Oh, thank you, Leanne. It's been so much fun.
And you guys can learn more about her at christykrug.com, christikrug. I want to thank you all for listening. This has been Bread and Roses on KBOO. If you'd like to join the collective, don't hesitate to get in touch with Ani Haynes at volunteer@kboo.org. We are always open to new members. Thank you, Brooke, our engineer tonight. We're going to go out with Joni Mitchell for free.
KBO Portland, good evening. It is 7 o'clock right now, and we are about to go into Hard Knock Radio. So keep it locked. It'll be a special program talking about Obamacare.